This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 457. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Cabbage, small business loans for the real world. Get quick access to working capital with a Cabbage line of credit. Well, I remember when I first started in business, I used to be part of these very large meetings at IBM. And my biggest fear was not to say anything really stupid. Well, my first guest has a solution to that. From the creator of the viral sensation, 10 Tricks to Appear Smart in Meetings, Sarah Cooper shows us how to appear smart in less half the time it takes to learn anything. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So why write this book? I mean, I thought I was the only one that didn't want to look stupid.
Oh, everybody has the same fear that you have. I mean, you're in front of all your coworkers. Sometimes you're in front of VPs and higher ups. So it's a very important time to look as smart as you possibly can.
And I think one of people's first reaction is not to say anything during a meeting, but that's not a good long-term strategy either, right?
No, that's a big mistake because then people will not even remember if you were in the meeting, which is a problem if you want to get promoted and be remembered, come bonus time. So you definitely want to at least say something. But the point is that most people aren't really paying attention in meetings. So you have to make it look like you're paying attention, even though you probably haven't been.
So this is the truth. So give us some of your top tricks.
One of my favorite ones is just to pace around the room. This doesn't actually involve any speaking at all, but if you get up and start pacing, it makes people wonder what you're thinking. You can kind of go over to the window and kind of sigh heavily, so it makes it look like you're contemplating something really deeply. And this will make people kind of be more suspicious about what's going on inside your head. Another great one is to just ask everyone to take a step back. This is a great one if everyone's kind of throwing out ideas and you're not saying anything. You can kind of say, guys, let's take a step back here. And then when you have everyone's attention, just ask a question like, what problem are we really trying to solve? And people will kind of look to you as the person who took control of the meeting again.
And even if you don't really know what's going on.
Exactly. The point of all of these tricks is that you don't have to be paying attention at all because probably you haven't been. And so you can kind of just say these things and make it look like you're completely there, even though you really are somewhere else.
So I have to tell you, I've tried the pacing one and it really works because as other people are talking, when I get up and I start to pace, everyone starts to watch me and doesn't pay attention to, and they keep saying, why is he pacing?
Yeah, exactly. I was in a meeting with a VP who actually got up, started pacing, and then asked the presenter to go back a slide, which is another great trick. So he did two tricks at the same time, which I think is definitely a power move.
And go back a slide really means that, wow, that was a really interesting point. Let's see it again because I want to make sure I got everything I could from it.
Exactly. And all your coworkers will wonder what it is on that slide that they missed that you're going to point out. But you don't have to actually point out anything. You can just say, these numbers, can you explain these again or something like that?
Right. All right. So what else works?
Another great one is to translate percentages into fractions. So if someone says 25% of people clicked on this button, you can just say, about 1 in 4. And make a note of it, and people will be really impressed with your quick math skills.
Now, that's only if it's really easy arithmetic, because if someone says, 78%, that gets a little tougher.
Yeah. In that case, you can just say, well, that's practically everybody.
Right, exactly. So what you're saying is you should comment on the statistics and the percentages.
Exactly. Always comment on statistics and percentages and just make it round up or round down. Make it look like you're kind of creating insight for everyone else.
But you're not really judging it whether it's good or bad.
Exactly.
That's the important part. All right, give us another one.
Another great one is to ask if it's going to scale, no matter what it is. So if someone throws out an idea, just ask if it's going to scale. And no one really knows what that means, but it kind of drives people that do know what it means crazy. So it's another great way to look smart.
We may not know what it means, Sarah, but we all want to scale, right? And we all want our businesses to scale.
who doesn't want to scale?
Exactly.
You know, you're always going to look smart if you ask about scaling.
Exactly. All right. What's the next one?
Another great one is just to draw a Venn diagram. Get up to the whiteboard, draw two circles, and label them whatever you feel like labeling them. But the most interesting part of this one is that anyone who gets up to the whiteboard and starts drawing something immediately looks like they are taking control and a leadership role in the meeting. Somebody else will probably correct your Venn diagram, but at that point you could kind of just hand the marker to them and sit back down and go back to playing Candy Crush or whatever you were doing. It just makes you look like you're kind of taking control.
So I'm a little bit worried that some people who aren't paying attention, who didn't pay attention in school, and that's the reason they're not paying attention in meetings, is they don't know what a Venn diagram is. So maybe we got to go back a slide or go back 5 seconds and explain it.
Two circles, one slightly bigger than the other, that are intersecting. And then you can just write something like, you know, what we don't know is in one circle and what we do know is another circle. And then in the middle is the sweet spot. You always got to have a sweet spot that everybody's kind of talking about. So that's just one idea.
And Sarah, if you want to scale, you got to be in the sweet spot.
Absolutely. Wow, you are really nailing this.
I'm catching on.
You're catching on.
All right.
You're doing actually another one of the tricks, which is basically just to repeat what someone said, but very, very slowly. So people will think that you're the one who actually came up with the idea.
Now,
so just whoever's the smartest person in the room, just repeat what they said.
Right. That was the thing. So you have to really, whoever people perceive as the smartest person in the room or the boss, you want to slowly repeat what they said.
Exactly. It, you know, you're kind of, you know, kissing their ass a little bit, but you're also making people think that you really get it.
Right. And I assume you have to make sure that you don't overlap techniques if someone's doing the exact same thing to you. So in other words, someone said, can you go back a slide? You can say, well, can you go back one more slide?
No. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Definitely not. And that one is very important, because if you're on the very first slide of the presentation and you ask them to go back a slide,
that would be a problem.
It's going to be obvious that you aren't paying attention. Yeah,
that's a problem. All right, here's another one.
Mm-hmm. Another great one is if you're in kind of a status update meeting and everyone's sort of going around giving their updates, as someone starts to give their updates, stop them and then let them continue. This is also called the Kanye. So basically, if someone starts their update, say, I'm sorry, John, I'm going to stop you right there. Everyone, John is going to give an update that's really important. So could everyone just please pay attention? Okay, John, go ahead. And this just makes you look like you've taken control of the meeting. Giving John the floor kind of makes you look like the bigger person. So that's another great one.
And John really then owes you, because now he looks smarter.
Exactly.
And what he's doing is really important.
Exactly. And then also, you've asked everyone else to pay attention, so you really don't have to pay attention anymore.
Right, exactly. Until you start giving your update and someone says, wait a second, Sarah, I want everyone to listen to this.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, here's another one. We got a couple minutes left here.
Okay, another great one is to just make fun of yourself. People really like self-deprecating humor. So if someone asks you a question and you haven't been paying attention for the past 2 hours, just say, you know what, I really haven't been paying attention for the past 2 hours. Everyone will laugh. They'll think it's so funny that you're being so genuine and honest, and you'll really look like a leader.
And I think the important part here is you can't say, well, I just wasn't paying attention the last few minutes. You have to make it absurd.
Absurd, exactly. So people know that you probably were paying attention,
right,
but you're kind of just, you know, making fun of yourself.
Right, exactly. All right, give us another one.
So another great one is to sit next to the leader of the meeting. So it looks like you're co-leading the meeting. And when other people are presenting things to the leader of the meeting, it'll look like they're presenting to you as well. And so people will sort of get that mental picture that you're kind of on their level.
But is there a danger there that people will see if you're paying attention if you're next to the leader?
Well, that's when you start doing another one of the tricks, which is nodding and pretending to take notes. So as long as you continually nod and pretend to take notes, it'll always look like you're paying attention, even if your mind is somewhere else.
Now, if you're pretending to take notes, can you do it on a tablet device while – like, can you be playing Candy Crush and look like you're taking notes?
It's difficult, and I would definitely practice at home, maybe in front of a mirror, before actually doing it in front of your coworkers, but it is possible. Another thing that really works too is just to bring a notebook with a pen, because this looks like you're sort of rejecting technology, and that kind of makes you look smart as well. Another great thing to do is to bring a salad, which makes you look like you're really being healthy. And then just take a bite of salad when it looks like someone is going to ask you a question, and just, you know, point to your mouth and say you can't really answer right now, right, because you're eating your salad.
Right. And that gives you more time to think. It's like when someone asks me a question,
exactly,
I go, you know, that's a really good question. Or, you know, what we used to do with my business partner was, if I didn't know the answer, I'd say, you know, Ken is really the expert on that. He should answer that. So I throw the ball out to him. Sure. I have to tell you, Sarah, this looks like an amazing book. This is a must-have for every small business. Where can people get a copy of it?
Amazon, anywhere books are sold, online, offline, everywhere you go, you'll find it.
Thanks so much. I think you're doing a real service for every business person everywhere. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roadways. I have a couple of problems out there as you're traveling out and about. We'll start things off on the dam right up on where it's heavy right now from 83rd down to 95th. Down to one lane for road work until 7 this morning. And also, there wasn't an early crash. It really didn't help matters much either. Right now, it's 21 minutes out to 95th. Also, if you're traveling inbound on the Kennedy, heavy Sayre to Nagel with a crash in the two left lanes, 23 minutes in from O'Hare. Now, the Eden's outbound ramp, inbound ramp, I should say, from westbound Peterson, partially shut down with a rollover crash on that ramp. Rusty roads are looking good. Don't forget the Bears kick off at noon today, so you will see additional traffic on the Stevenson and the Lakeshore Drive area later on this morning. Right now it's 33 at O'Hare, 34 at Midway, and the lakefront, going up to a high of 34 with decreasing clouds. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
There's a trend in Europe and is spread like a virus to American schools, banning best friends.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
Yeah, because it excludes other people. And I think you could have 4 to 5 best friends, but my limit's 5. What's your limit?
I don't have any friends. 5 best friends is your limit.
Mm-hmm. I have 5 best friends that protect me, I protect them, and we don't repeat each other's stuff, if you know what I mean.
That's a gang. Those aren't best friends.
Weekday mornings, starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Molt and get a free copy of the book.
Check out GalloLiquidators.com, DuPage County's online auction destination. GalloLiquidators.com. That's G-A-L-L-O, Liquidators.com. Gallo reprocesses store returns, closeouts, and shelf pulls, then list them online starting at just $1. Auctions begin every Thursday, featuring a constantly changing variety of merchandise, tools, antiques, electronics, housewares, and much, much more. GalloLiquidators.com. It's an easy-to-use online platform featuring store returns from some of the nation's largest retailers at a fraction of the price to you, the customer. Pickup location is just blocks from downtown St. Charles. Families love coming in every weekend to pick up their auction winnings. Gallo also accepts all types of consignments. Nationwide shipping is now available. Don't miss out. Visit GalloLiquidators.com, DuPage County's online auction destination. That's GalloLiquidators.com. G-A-L-L-O, Liquidators.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, one of the biggest problems holding back any small business is that their brand is, quite frankly, a mess. My next guest is a hit TV show that turns around small business brands. With her neurohuman branding method, Allie Craig weaves science, psychology, design, human nature into an easily applied system that can brand and grow any company's audience. The show is called Fix My Brand with Allie Craig. It's a 9-week social experiment to take 9 brands of all types from around the world and transform them from fledgling to fierce competition. It's now streaming on Success Network through Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire. Allie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why are so many small business brands such a mess?
Honestly, most entrepreneurs have no idea what foot to lead with. They're so passionate about seemingly so many different topics that they kind of just like throw everything against the wall and they say, whichever one someone pays me for, that'll be who I am. And it's like, no, that's not the right way to be. There's actually commonality in between all what seemingly seems different passions to the outside world. There's a common theme there. And that's what you have to lead with when it comes to your brand of what you do and who you are and how you actually help and serve this world at large.
And I think you make a really good point, because initially in the startup phase, entrepreneurs, small business owners will do anything for anybody just so they can make some money. And they don't think about, well, I need to really have a cohesive brand. When is the right time to do that? Is it at the very beginning or once you've had some success with customers?
Well, really, that's where branding is a deeply personal experience. I say it so often on the show, and no one believes me until you're in the process. And it's like, see, branding is a deeply personal experience. Even if you're working for a corporation or a direct sales company, you have to know what really drives you. Because just because you can make money at it in the short run doesn't mean it will create the long-term life or even long-term income you're looking for. So ideally, in the perfect world of life, it would be from the get-go, figure out who you are and really what you're about and how you want to serve and who you're wanting to serve and those kind of logistical information that we need to know, and then go out from there. You're always going to have to course correct because you're going to change and society is going to change. And so that evolution is already going to naturally happen within your brand. So it's not like you have to feel like you're stuck by defining who you are and what you're about early on.
And I think you're right. Having a very focused brand in the beginning is so important, because I believe if you're selling to everybody, then you really sell to nobody and you really can't get your lead funnel going.
Well, and your message isn't defined as well. That's when you're trying to please everybody, everything is in so vanilla that no one realizes that you're really mint chocolate chip and you're not actually vanilla.
Exactly. And then one of the things you also talk about is that when people have their lead funnel, there's really no bucket at the end. What does that mean?
So many times people create offers because they see, okay, now you're supposed to do Facebook Live every single day for your audience, and you're supposed to do a masterclass, and you're supposed to do this pre-signed-up webinar that's pre-recorded, but you lie and you tell them that it's a live webinar. And it's like, but what is all that ending to for you? Many times we find ourselves in such creation overload, and actually Emerald Greenforce of episode 5, that's exactly how she came. She had a financially successful business, online business for 7 years, but she had, as she called it, a buffet of free content that she had created over all these years because, oh, she went on a podcast, they needed a free giveaway. Oh, you're supposed to do webinars now. Oh, she's doing a speaking event and they want a free giveaway that's not the same. And so she ended up having all these free resources. But by doing that, she also ended up training her audience that just wait, Emerald will give it to you for free at some
right,
point.
Right,
so
exactly.
They never wanted to give her money. And so it's like too many times we as entrepreneurs try to, you know, follow the model, give your best stuff away and they'll pay for it. Well, no, because you just trained them to not give you any money because they know you'll give them the best stuff for free. So why are they ever going to give you money? It makes no sense.
Absolutely, because again, people pay for what they value. We're talking with Allie Craig. She's got a hit TV show called Fix My Brand. Allie, when you're talking with these 9 entrepreneurs, when do you really see the light go on their head to say, aha? Because change for any small business owner is very difficult. What really makes them change and actually fix their brand?
I wish I could tell you here's the magic bullet on that one. And on some level, there isn't. Normally, when So basically, the way I always start off with is the way I start off with my one-on-one clients, which is tell me what you really want to have as your life. How much money do you want to make? How much do you want to be working? What kind of lifestyle are you wanting to be living? And then once we kind of have that discussion of their life and their audience and what they want to be delivering, I do my market research and really see, does the marketplace have value there? And the truth is that there's always a way. There's always a way to get what you want financially, the lifestyle you want, and serve your audience and, you know, have them be happy and give them what they want as well. And you would think that's like the perfect moment. Here it is, black and white on paper. Here's how we get from where you're at now to exactly where you're going. But the interesting thing is most of the time, that's when our own internal stories of self-doubt, of can we really do this, become real. Because far too often, entrepreneurs use the excuse of not having the perfect website or not having the perfect brand messaging or not having certain elements in place as why they're not successful versus saying, I'm going to go to my best ability all in and, you know, we will see if I succeed or we'll see if I'll fail, but either way, I'll do it with my best heart. And so sometimes you would think what is the perfect clarity of here is a black and white, you know, statistically sound, scientifically driven solution to exactly what to have the life you say you want to have. And that actually freaks people out sometimes more than it actually creates a spark to go forward.
But what if, Allie, if you're really not sure, because a lot of people, I think, have a crisis in confidence. They've had some success, but it's not going as well as they had hoped was, and they don't know what direction to take their brand in. What do you do then?
That really depends on if it's a you situation or if it's an audience situation. And here's what I mean by that. Do you personally realize, like, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought I was signing up for. Like, this is not who I want to serve. This is not creating a life I want. Because maybe you, you know, got yourself into one-on-one consulting work thinking that that was going to free you from a corporate 9-to-5 job. And now you realize that you're just a slave to your clients they're so demanding.
As they always say, an entrepreneur is someone that gave up a 40-hour a week job to work 80 hours on their own, right?
Oh, and 80 hours on a good week, too. Sometimes it's more, as we all know. But then the other side is it your audience? Because here's the thing. When I started doing branding back in 1998, you know, society would shift at every 6 to 8 years. That's how often you would see a major corporation, quote unquote, rebrand themselves, where they would update their logo and their copy to meet the current society expectations, stories, and, you know, visuals that were going on, what was considered aesthetically appealing. Today, we're at 4 to 6 months.
Wow.
We're just accelerating at a faster and faster pace. I mean, social media is one of the main reasons that that's driving so quickly and that trends become way more important to us than trends have ever become in the past. And so sometimes your audience, you're just not shifting fast enough for your audience and really what their needs are. And that's where nourishment branding is so important, because it's never branding towards statistics, because statistics are old information. That's who your audience was. That's not necessarily who your audience will be in the future. And nourishment branding looks at the biology and the psychology, things that the truth is can change but probably won't change in the very near future, and speaks to those elements. So that way your brand messaging and visuals always do stay on point. So if you're feeling like this brand isn't what I thought I was going to get out of it, see if it's what, how you structured it first, in that, you know, you chose to structure it that way and change that, or see if just by chance it's the audience. Then maybe your audience has shifted and you haven't updated your messaging, you know, anytime soon.
So, Allie, the last question I want to ask you is, what's the future of the show Fix My Brand with Allie Craig?
Well, we are actually casting for season 2 and 3 right now. And we are super excited because we are actually in talks with a couple of other, you know, bigger networks. So we love Success Network, but we're actually in talks with a couple of other networks to bring the show on a larger, more, you know, global scale per se. So we're super excited about that.
So if people want to get cast for your next season, where should they go?
You need a fixmybrandalliecraig.com, and there's all the details and all the information there about the time frames and, you know, what you receive for being a brand on the show, because we're not just about giving you a great strategy. We're about really helping you create and deliver brands that work for you and your audience.
And if people want to get in touch with you, they want you to fix their brand, how can they reach you?
You can find me online. I'm D. Allie Craig on every single social media platform out there. Or you can also go to Fix My Brand, Allie Craig's website. You can connect with me that way as well.
Allie, thanks so much for being on the show. Congratulations on your big hit, Fix My Brand.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. This is AM 560, The Answer. We're going to be right back.
Larry Elder adds common sense to the Roy Moore debate.
The allegations against Judge Roy Moore are indeed very, very serious. If these allegations are true, and Judge Roy Moore should know whether the allegations are true, of course he should get out. If they are not true, he should stand his ground. But I find it difficult to believe that every single one of these allegations is a lie.
The Larry Elder Show, weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Mike Cantor. Dueling rallies in Boston as pro-Trump free speech rallygoers face off with anti-Trump counter-protesters.
The anti-Marxists, who carried flags and wore hats supporting President Donald Trump, were outnumbered by the self-described socialists 10-1.
Fox's Bill Marcus, at least two people were arrested. Senate Republicans planning a tax reform vote after Thanksgiving, but some key GOP senators still reluctant to the bill.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he'll take it to the floor after Thanksgiving. Big question now, can he get it through? He needs almost every Republican to do it. And today, he's missing about six.
Fox's Caroline Shively. New Orleans electing its first woman mayor in city history as LaToya Cantrell defeated Desiree Charbonnet in Saturday's runoff election. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott. Watching the roads. Not much has changed so far this morning. Still have a big delay on the upbound Dan Ryan. Right now from 83rd to 95th. Right now you're down to one lane through the 95th reconstruction zone. That's going to be there until 7, so give yourself a little bit of extra time. 21 minutes downtown to 95th. Also inbound on the Kennedy, heavy Sayre to Nagel with a crash in the two left lanes. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are moving well and pretty light volume as you head out and about. This update is sponsored by TrueCar. With TrueCar, you can see what others pay for the car you want, so you can recognize a great deal. TrueCar users on average save over $3,000 off MSRP. For newer used cars, visit TrueCar for a more confident car buying experience. Right now, it's 33 at O'Hare, 34 at Midway and the Lakefront. Temperature is not moderating much, with staying in the mid-30s, decreasing clouds throughout the day. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out barrymoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his six-part video series.
My name is David Hochberg, Vice President Lending at Pearl Mortgage. If you're looking to secure financing on a new home or refinance your existing home, give me a call. According to CreditCard.com, cardholders in Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan are carrying over $33,000 of debt on their credit cards. The Federal Reserve recently increased the interest rates a quarter of a point, which, according to credit enhancement expert Gary Novell, will increase the average credit card holder's interest payments $825 a year. The good news is home values have rebounded, so now is an excellent time to use your home's equity to eliminate your stress, pay off credit card debt, and lower your monthly payments. To see if you can use your home's equity to pay off your debt, give me a call now at 312-751-1333 or visit am560david.com. I've helped thousands of AM560 listeners, but I can't help if you don't call 312-751-1333 or visit am560david.com. Pearl Mortgage, an equal housing lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage License T4358 and MLS 1918 186.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, it's no secret that retail is changing. More and more commerce is going online, and every retailer is struggling with how to reinvent the way that they do business. Well, there's a new survey out. It's sponsored by AT&T, and we're going to talk about that. Michael Culinary, he's the vice president for AT&T's Global Business Enterprise Solutions, overseeing the retail, restaurant, consumer packaging goods vertical organization. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So tell us about your new study and what the methodology was for this.
So the methodology was that we really took a look at the negative narrative around retail, but some of the key trends and drivers are. We wanted to look at what the real story is, considering store openings and closing, the companies that are performing well and those that may not be, and then take a deeper dive into the different segments within retail to determine who's thriving and what are the methodologies and the success stories behind what's producing growth and success for retailers today.
And what were the top line results? What were the headlines from the survey?
Well, the retail's not dying, first of all. There's a lot of negative press around there, but there's, you know, the fact is that retail in the United States in particular is really right-sizing in a different ways. You've got overexpansion, you've got consumer behavior that's changing, you have the rise of competitors online and offline, continued challenges among consumers and disposable incomes. There are a variety of different factors there, but the truth of the matter is that retail is actually thriving. There are more stores popping up. There are segments that are doing better than others, but e-commerce is also a significant challenge, but it's not eating everybody's lunch as often might be interpreted.
So what I loved about the report was that you really outlined some steps that retailers can make not only to survive but really thrive in this environment. Can you talk about those?
Sure. The most important or outstanding, I think, recommendations that we've come up with is that the experience in the store is probably driving the most amount of attention. So retailers focusing on what kind of an experience are they developing in the store, how they're managing their inventory, definitely how much of their income is directed toward digital or technology, and certainly the implementation of cloud and or mobility solutions that kind of enable that whole experience are on the rise, and they're very, very common trends across the retailers that are thriving.
And so do you think that more and more people have to compete with the seemingly personalized experience they have on the web, that they have to make sure that when people shop with them in person, they do that as well?
Absolutely. The experience in the store is driving success more than any other factor that we can identify.
And technology really can make this personal through, obviously, automation, some other kinds of things. What kind of technology does the retailer have to invest in these days?
There are two things that I see that are the most common focus areas for technology in the retail format. One is enablement of the associate or the sales clerk, if you will, and the other is a focus on creating automation around operational efficiency within the actual store footprint. So, and you asked about specific solutions, and to be really pinpointed, mobility or creating a mobile capability for an associate tends to be the biggest, one of the biggest investment areas for small retailers as well as large retailers. And that enables an associate to add value, to add context, to add capability, to add convenience, because then you don't have to go to a cash register. They can tell you about inventory. They can add information that you may not be able to find online or can't identify when you're standing in the store, and it just speeds up the whole experience and creates depth for the consumer.
Michael, do you find from the survey that retailers are behind in implementing this kind of technology they absolutely must have to keep up?
It's a tough way to answer that question, but what I can tell you that the survey reveals is that retailers who are investing there are absolutely thriving the most.
Right, because this is – see, I really believe that this is something that you must do and must have if you're going to be competitive and then eventually become a leader in your area.
The survey results would back up that perspective as well, very much.
And where is the big buzzword today for a lot of small business owners is the cloud. How can these retailers leverage the cloud to accomplish some of these things?
Using the cloud can be a huge help for retailers that want to make a transformational impact in the shortest available time. So what that really means is that they can provide interfaces or have a single view of their inventory across all channels or all points of sale that they have. 34% of all software spending in retail in 2017 was on the cloud.
Wow.
So that's a third of every dollar
Wow.
is being spent there.
Wow.
So that's absolutely a focus area.
Now, I know that AT&T can provide some of these small business solutions. Where can people get in touch with you if they want more information?
Direct you or listeners to three places, certainly on AT&T's website. We're very active in social media, and there I have a team of account service people that are out in the field, and so contacting your account team is probably the best way to get really personalized one-to-one experience with AT&T.
Michael, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for the information.
Thank you very much.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Jeremy Scott with your look at the roads. Still a mess on the Ryan and the Kennedy. Inbound Kennedy heavy, though, from Sayre to Nagel with a crash in the two left lanes. 23 in from O'Hare, and it keeps getting worse. Thankfully, the good news is with the light volume, it's not going to get too awful, but still give yourself a little bit of extra time if you're inbound on the Kennedy. Also on the Dam Ryan outbound, it's crawling from 83rd all the way down to 95th. You're down to one lane for the 95th Street Construction Project. That's going to be there until later on this morning, so at least give yourself 21 minutes to get down to 95th if you're coming from the downtown area. Other than that, the rest of your roadways are moving well. We're seeing no other accidents or delays to slow you down. So great time to head out if you need to absolutely do so. Don't forget the Bears kickoff is at noon, so you'll see additional traffic on 55. Forecast for today, not much of a change in the temperatures. Temperatures staying where they're at, 32 O'Hare, 34 Midway, 33 at the lakefront, but the clouds will decrease. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, most of the capital for small business growth no longer comes from banks. There are new offerings on the web that can provide entrepreneurs the money they need when they actually need it. My next guest built such a company. Catherine Petralia is the co-founder of Cabbage. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I love what Cabbage is doing, but how did you and your co-founder, Rob, actually come up with this?
Well, Rob actually had the idea. He had been given access to an eBay API that he was using with another company to identify the likelihood that items sold on eBay were counterfeit or fraudulent. And he thought, wow, that's a lot of really rich data. Could we use that to make a real-time lending decision to a business selling on eBay? That was 8 years ago. Today, online businesses represent less than 10% of our customer population. We serve all types of businesses, online and offline. So we've been really excited to be able to grow the business.
And I love the idea that you said real-time decision, because we all know that traditional lenders don't make real-time decisions, and small businesses need real-time decisions, right?
That's exactly right.
And so tell us about how does Cabbage actually work, and how do you decide how much to lend someone and what the process is like?
Sure. So what happens is the customers give us access to the information sources they use to run their business. Certainly things like their business checking account, payment processing data, accounting data, social data, shipping data. And we take this information. We get it. Again, it's authorized access by our customers. We get it in real time. And we stay connected to the data that helps us understand business performance and helps us forecast business performance. It also allows us to give our customers access to a line of credit. That's really important, and it's very unique in the space because it means that our customers can borrow what they need when they need it. So they're not taking more than they need and paying fees on money that they don't need to use. So our customers get through the entire application process in under 10 minutes with access to capital at that point in time.
You know, and I love what you're talking about, because you say you stay connected to the data, because since now everything's online, you no longer have to fill out an application that it's actually out of date after you fill it out. Now you know exactly what's going on with the business when it's actually happening, right?
That's exactly right. And most of the time that allows us to do really great things for our customers, like give them access to larger line amounts, reduce their rates. So it's really important to us that we're able to stay connected so we can continually provide them with access to the products they need.
So if I want to have a lot of choices to be able to borrow money for when I need growth capital, what should a small business do to increase their chances of landing financing?
I think it's really important to be organized, to make sure that you're using the kinds of tools that you need to run your business. Certainly separate your business and your personal finances. Don't use your personal checking account to run your business, because it's going to be really confusing if you go to apply for a loan. And whether it's a bank or an online lender like Cabbage, they're going to want to see that information. And as much as possible, use some of the tools that are available, like online accounting packages. There are companies like Xero and QuickBooks that give small businesses access to these great tools. So I think staying organized is really important, and you shouldn't have to pay an accountant to do it if you're a very small business.
You know, Catherine, one of the things that I love that you do is, since you're connected to these businesses, you actually can give them advice about how much they can actually afford to borrow based on their cash flow.
That is correct. And so it's really important for us when we review the revenue of our customers to make sure that we're not giving them more than they can reasonably repay in a 12-month period. And that is really important, because business owners can get excited about things and get a little bit ahead of their skis. And we want to make sure that we don't put them in a negative position going forward because they've chosen to borrow.
So in general, how is small business using this kind of capital to grow?
For the most part, it's
it's taking advantage of great opportunities to grow. You said it yourself. So it's working capital, but many times customers are able to take advantage of opportunities like an inventory deal, or a lot of our customers are investing in marketing so they can drive more customer growth, or they're able to prepare staff up for a busy season, which, you know, different types of businesses have busy seasons, at different times of the year. For companies like construction companies, maybe it evens out cash flow in businesses where they have to wait a really long time to get paid by their customers.
And where do you think small business financing is actually going in the future?
I think we're going towards something more like a very hyper-personalized environment where businesses are going to get access to exactly the type of capital that they need when they need it, with repayment periods that make sense based on their business growth and their business cash flow. So just like, 100 years ago, you might have gone to your local banker who knew you by name and you grew up together. They would give you very specific terms and they knew your business. Things became very depersonalized over the last 100 years as we try to automate and put people into groups and sort of underwrite a broad swath of customers. We're getting back to that time when you knew your banker and they knew you and you could get exactly what you needed.
And I love this because lending is getting in step with how people are now doing marketing and selling, which is really personalized and automated. And so I'm so happy to see that. Can you tell us in the last minute about some of Kabbage's success, how many businesses you've been able to help?
Sure thing. So in the U.S., we have deployed almost $4 billion to 130,000 small businesses, and we've been doing that since 2010. We got our start in late 2008, but it took us a little while to build the technology. So we expect to continue that growth. We also work in international markets. We're in 8 countries partnered with large global banks that also deliver our product to their customers.
And so if people want to get their own Kabbage line of credit, where can they go?
They can go to www.kabbagewithak.com.
Catherine, thanks so much for being on the show, and thanks for what you do for small businesses.
Thank you. Take care.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We're going to be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Have pain you can't ignore? Then try first-in-class relief from SalonPass. SalonPass pain relief patches have everything you need in one clinically proven solution. They're the strongest label pain reliever available without a prescription, safely relieving pain for up to 12 hours. And SalonPass is the first and only FDA-approved OTC topical pain reliever. For first-in-class relief, get SalonPass pain relief patches in the green box with a blue wave.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, there's a lot of talk these days on limiting immigrants into this country. So my next segment will focus on an immigrant who came to the U.S. many, many years ago and built a thriving business. Alex Dasmalchi grew up in war-torn Iran with a vision of moving to the U.S. and becoming a successful business owner. Working by age 16, having escaped out of Iran with a passport from Austria, Alex arrived in America a year later and quickly launched a lifelong journey as an entrepreneur and business leader. Today, he's a U.S. citizen, an MBA college graduate, a devoted father, philanthropist, and CEO of multiple high-profit companies. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Sean.
So talk, I don't think a lot of Americans can really understand what made you want to leave your country and go someplace else.
Well, opportunities were extremely limited where I come from Iran, and I always had a vision of coming back to the U.S. I studied fourth grade here and being able to live the American dream, and that's exactly what I was able to do.
What was it able, what kind of challenges did you specifically face as an immigrant in starting a business that perhaps other entrepreneurs don't?
Language was one. When I came here, I was 17 years old, so I had to quickly learn the language. Culture, very important. And besides that, knowing how businesses are operated in the U.S., so it took me a while, but I surrounded myself with other amazing business owners, which were all very, very giving. And they taught me the best skills in my life, and I was able, because there is access here for all of us, and there's equal access, I was able to take advantage of that and build my first business at the age of 18.
Wow. And so you must have been more determined than ever because, listen, starting a business is against every entrepreneur, but not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, not knowing the people, it sounds like it was nearly impossible. Why try it all?
Well, I think it all starts with, your mind. Do you believe if something is possible or not? And I'm a fan of yours, Barry. I've listened to what you say. It's not having any fear of failure. Being able to fail and get up and learn from those failures, learn fast and quickly move on.
What advice would you have today if you had to do it all over again? Would you do anything different? What would you say to other immigrants if they can get to this country and want to start a business and contribute? What advice would you have for them?
I would say pick the right business, something that is sustainable. Get into it. Don't be afraid to ask. Everybody is willing to help. Learn how business is conducted here. And we live in a world that there's business is not just limited to the U.S. It's now global. There are no more boundaries in e-commerce, for instance. Again, surrounding yourself with good people, adapting best practices, and basically you can, I think, any vision that you have, you can bring to life.
Alex, so inspirational to hear your success story. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
They can go to our website, www.dasmalchi, D as in David, ASTMALCHI.com. My email address is posted there, and they could also have a look at our brands and follow what we do.
Alex, thanks so much for contributing to our society.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank all those who are joining us on this week's radio show. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva and Cabbage. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our guest in-studio producer, George Hoffman, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. Listen, if you are serious about getting your small business unstuck, if you want to be successful this year, you got to give me a call. And I've set up a private line just for you. It's 773-837-8250. Or if you'd rather, you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year you finally earn the money that you deserve? Isn't this the reason why you actually started a business? Remember, love everyone. Trust a few and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Balance of Nature's fruits and